As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn upon the scriptures. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 14 through 22. I'm quicker than the technology. That's pretty cool. Okay, let's read here. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. I should start saying that like every time I get up to preach. The cup of blessing that we bless is not a sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one body, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for an opportunity to be present here in this place and later on to have an opportunity to come to the table of the Lord to receive the gift of grace that you provide. We thank you for Northwest Hills United Methodist and for the church across the world that we might continue to share your love and grace and hope with those who need it. Be with me this day and speak in spite of me that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Tables. In our home in Beeville, the table that we ate at most was this like bar thing that came out from the wall. It was perfect for our family of four. Even though we had this big dining table just close by, we would usually sit at this little nook and have dinner together. We would usually talk about sports in my family at the dinner table or how the ostriches were doing outside, King Tut and Nefertiti. They provided eggs for us and all that stuff. And have I told you it was my job to jump over the fence to get the eggs? Yeah, that's my parents love me. They would send me, like they would distract King Tut down the way, and then I would jump the fence, grab the egg, and run as fast as I could. In Elgin, I was invited to eat at the table of the McLeans. It was a standing invitation that they gave me, and I knew that dinner was usually going to be ready at 6 p.m., and if I wanted to join, my chair and my food, my plate was always ready. And so I would go there most times to eat dinner with them. The table was a good time to talk about how things were going and where I needed some support. Over the last 20 years, I've been invited to be at tables all over the place, tables to help plan events, weddings, and funerals. Every family has a table story. Some tables are places of celebration. Some places are where difficult conversations happen. Some are places where identity is formed. When you sit at a table regularly, you become part of that community and are shaped by the conversations and memories that are shared together in those moments. The table represents a space where relationships are forged and deepened and experiences that knit our hearts together. Tables represent belonging, and every table teaches us who we are and whose we are. Discipleship requires choosing which table shapes our lives. Discipleship requires choosing which table shapes our lives. Tables in the Bible often signify God's provision, covenant, and fellowship with his people. They are reminders of his faithfulness and the communal aspect of worship and relationship with him. Whether in the context of a meal or a sacred offering or a spiritual truth, tables underscore the importance of communion with God and with one another. And so we see a few different tables throughout the scriptures. The first table appeared in Exodus 25 as we read about the table of showbread. And this table was a sacred place of furniture which held 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel and symbolized God's continual provision and presence with his people. In Psalm 23, we read, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." This table mentioned by King David signifies God's provision and protection. In the New Testament, we read about tables in Jesus's ministry. For instance, in Matthew 21, how Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, expressing his zeal for purity of worship as we bring our hearts to join God's heart in a time of community and gratitude. In Luke 5, we read about Jesus dining with Levi, the tax collector. In Luke 14, we read about the parable of the great banquet in which the master invited guests to the table, but they were too busy or consumed by many things, and they began making excuses why they couldn't go. And so we see the master send out the servant to go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And when there was still room, he said, "Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel anyone to come so that my house will be full." As we continue in this series, No Other Gods, we've been talking about the dangers of idolatry as we live out our faith in this world. In the first week of the series, I said that an idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. And that's exactly what Paul is warning the Corinthian believers against in today's scripture. The Corinthians were risking defiling their faith and straying away from the teachings of Jesus by participating in both the Lord's table and the table of what it says, demons, or idolatry, or evil. Paul says you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of idols. As Paul speaks, he emphasizes the importance of staying away from idolatry and warns against partaking in pagan sacrifices. He urges them to flee from anything that could separate them and lead them away from the one true God. So I think Paul desires for them and for us to understand the seriousness of their actions and the impact it has on their relationship with God. Discipleship requires choosing which table shapes our lives. And so Paul's urging them to make a clear choice of drawing a clear distinction between the Lord's table and those tables that draw us away, and to fully commit to God and reject anything that draws us away. So just as the Israelites were commanded to have no other gods before the Lord, we are reminded that our loyalty cannot be divided between God and worldly pursuits. It's important that we also serve God. It's a reminder that our allegiance should be solely to God and that we should not mix up worship of him with the worship of false gods. In our context that we live today, our idolatry may be a little bit subtler. The pursuit of material wealth, career success, or even The relentless pursuit of social media validation. Doesn't happen, right? These modern idols, though intangible, can wield a powerful influence over our lives, drawing us away from true fulfillment and purpose. We can get so sidetracked on chasing things that we lose our value that is in God, our purpose that is in God. You see, true fulfillment and balance are not found in fleeting pursuits of this world, but in the enduring love and grace of Jesus, who beckons us to find our ultimate satisfaction in him. A table that we're invited to shape our lives is the communion table. Each week, we're reminded of God's sacrifice and love for us, each one of us called by name. But we're also invited to remember our interconnectedness as members of Christ's body. It reminds us that both as an individual and as a community of faith, we have mutual support in our journey with Jesus. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, communion is this profound moment of connection with Christ and with each other. It's a table that reminds us of our shared identity in Jesus and our vital role that the community is playing in our faith. Because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share of the one loaf. And by embracing this truth and aligning our lives with God's will, we can navigate the complexities of the modern world with steadfast faith and unity and an unwavering devotion to God. In Christ's table, we're reminded that no one is too far away. No one has sinned too much. No one is beyond God's grace. Everyone is welcome at the table. It's a place for everyone. So the question is not whether we belong at a table. Everyone belongs at a table. But the question that Paul is asking is, which table is forming us? True discipleship requires choosing which table shapes our life. Not merely about the food, but it's about the love and the care that God pours into our lives. It's about bringing us together in unity and joy. Sharon does a great job here on the flip side. I invite you to read through the flip side, Food for Thought, and take a look at that. And there's some different questions, but as you look at the tables in which you belong, who is present? Who is absent? Who's included and who isn't? And who is God calling you to invite to sit beside you, to walk with you to the table, to experience God's love and grace? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together, for this community in which everyone is invited to participate, to be fed, both spiritually, physically, emotionally. God, we give you thanks for that the table is big enough for all of us. And so, Lord, may we be attentive to how we share in our life together and how we might continue to draw closer to you and to one another as we go through our journey together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.